And I'm not going to accept this, just call it to your attention. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a man of learning. He was a teacher. And he came to Jesus in the middle of the night to learn more about him. He didn't want to go see him in daylight. He was called a crypto-Christian. And he pretty well believed, but he didn't want the world to know. And so Jesus talked to him. And magnificent story about that duality between above and below. And what Jesus taught him was, you must be born from above. That's a better translation than being born again. Now, we don't understand what born again means. But Jesus said, you've been born from below. Be born from above. And when you're born from above, the Spirit enters. He talks about the Spirit, how it comes in and out of their life. Powerful, powerful. And that wonderful, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should have life everlasting. That comes right there. And that's in John and nowhere else. And then from there, the disciples move away from Jerusalem, and they move up into Samaria. And there they waited at the well, and this is in the fourth chapter. And he encountered the woman who came at noontime. Now, usually women used to go early. They would go before daylight or at daylight when it was cool to get the water. The woman came at midday, and because she was a sort of an outcast. And Jesus engaged her. My gosh, it's the first time that you find Jesus really engaging a woman, telling her the story. That's a big... she was a Samaritan woman at that. And Samaritans, for all kinds of reasons, were sort of outcast. And the disciples come back, and they're shocked that he is telling her. But out of that, and I figure this also, when John took them to... the Beloved took the community of John into Samaria, some of this came out of that, because if you remember, she went back into the community and she told them all about Jesus. She said, oh, he did so many wonderful things for me, and my life was transformed as a result of my encounter with him. And he gave me the living water. Jesus said, you drink the water that I give you, and you shall never thirst again. And that became her mission, to go back and tell people about the living water. And so, as a result of that, she becomes a great evangelist. So later in years, these Christians there joined the community of John as they moved toward Ephesus, as they move from one place to the other. Powerful, powerful story. And then you move into the fifth chapter. And if you're following, I certainly can't use the Bible a whole lot. We won't get through here for a while. But this is one of the most important of all of the scenes. Starts in the fifth chapter. We've gone now through first, second, third, fourth. Now we're in the fifth chapter. And this is where Jesus goes to for some kind of celebration in Jerusalem. And he goes through a place. He always entered by the sheep gate into Jerusalem, where no one else, that's where they brought the sheep. And Jesus... But there was always pools there. And there was a pool called the Pool of, we call it Bethesda, Bethesda. And the Hospital Bethesda, the name for this pool, the Pool of Healing. And this is where Jesus found that he always came this way, because there were people who would need him. And there was one guy who was there who had been on a pallet for 38 years. Because it was the belief that if someone would put you in the water, it was hot springs, you know, boiling up, just like it would be over in Arkansas, boiling. And if you got in the water when it was boiling like that, then healing would take place. And it was their belief that an angel dipped its wings in the water and made it boil. Beautiful, beautiful, interesting story. And the paralytic, like him, was bedridden for 30 years. Jesus said, take up your pallet and walk. And he was healed. He'd not become a believer. There was no evidence that he became a believer like so many did. He just took his pallet and minded Jesus and went back and so got out. And, of course, the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees saw it. And they were very upset. You remember what they were upset about? That Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. And their rules you could not pick your pallet up and carry it on the Sabbath. And so therefore they sort of blanked him out because of that. And again, the story here, the meaning of it, is that Jesus was trying to say that I'm here to take the place even of the Sabbath. See, Sabbath was a festival, a big day for them. And he became he took the place of that. And he said, now I am more important than Sabbath. I'm more important than the temple. Not bragging, but he said, you know, I am God. And this is what... It's a whole wonderful history there between two different schools of Pharisees. There was a school of Pharisees called the Pharisees, the school of Shammai. And they were hard-nosed people. And they were the ones, if you've been in New York or travel, they're the ones who wear black suits. And they have curly sideburns. You see them? High hats. They're the Hasidic Jews. And they are the hard-nosed, and they come out of that the Shammai. They were Essenes, and they came out of that tradition. And they were the ones that just followed it by the law. There was no room for it. But there was another rabbi by the name of Hillel, H-I-L-L-E-L, who taught in Capernaum 100 years before Jesus. And his interpretation of the Torah, the law, was more lenient. He said, it's okay to do good on Sabbath. It's okay if you're out doing good to take some grain in the fields, rub it between your hands and eat it. That's all right. If you're doing good. And that was Jesus' claim. And these Shammai, they didn't buy that. I mean, they never gave anything. They were always right on top of it. And then he moves from there up to, see, going back and forth. He goes into Galilee and... there in Galilee, he has this beautiful... You know, the only story that's in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the next story, which is the story of the multiplication of the loaves. And where the little boy came, according to John, came with the barley loaves and the fishes. And Jesus has this... crowd of people sit and they distributed this among it, and as they distributed it, it became more and more and more. A lot of people try to figure that out as well. Don't try to figure out the miracles. What is the story behind it? Of course, the story behind this is that I am the bread of life. The manna that came from heaven, and we remember about Moses, he said, that was to feed the people. This is different. I am the bread of life, and you feed on me, you don't feed on any bread that I can give you. But there's a wonderful theory that I think is worthy of. It's a good stewardship sermon. And that is that that as the boy came forward, nobody was going to go out in that desert and not take something. And so what happened, maybe, that's a miracle within itself, is that maybe everybody began to reach into their tunic and pull out their lunch, just like the little boy did. And they shared. That's miraculous within itself. But, you know, that's a theory. That's not the important thing. The important thing is to see that Jesus said, we do this because of our understanding that he is the bread. You feed on him. And then they went over to the other side, and they got in a storm. And once again, the most miraculous of all miraculous stories is walking on the water. And you find this... seventh chapter, and he walks on the water, walks out to them. And again, some people get caught up, how do you walk on that water? And I've heard people give all kinds of theories. They were stumps. almost like it. And he walked through there, and it was in shallow. You know, hear me. Don't hear me dismissing this. I'm just saying the point of that is this. He is saying, in whatever trouble you get in, disciples, if the ship is rocking and sinking and the winds are blowing, I will come to you, and I will be for you whatever it is that you need. Man, is that not a promise? What a wonderful, wonderful promise it is. And you think upon that. That's all that John was trying to get across, that Jesus would come to you in the storms, in the troubles. But you move on. That was the fifth of the signs. And then the sixth is the healing of the man born blind. I think this is one of the most important ones of all at this particular time. During the Feast of the Tabernacles, and time to talk about it, but the Feast of the Tabernacles was a big deal for them because it was a deliverance from the wilderness. So like Passover was a deliverance from the angel of death for them. They remember that. They do the Tabernacles to remember when they were in the desert and how God provided for them. It's a big, big, big. The Feast of the Booths, B-O-O-T-H-S, or the Feast of Shelters, Feast of the Tabernacles takes place. And in this, and then there's several different celebrations they use with torches. And Jesus boldly goes into the temple in the midst of all that and stands there in front of those torches that was the symbols of Judas. And he said, hey, I'm the light of the world. You'll find your light in me. They had another little celebration they did with water. And he, once again, right there in the middle of it, said, I am the living water. You see the series, how Jesus is taking the place of all of these institutions. And in the climax of all of this, his friend Lazarus dies. Sisters, very famous, Mary and Martha. And Jesus comes and restores him to life. And here is the beginning of, well, actually the bread. There are seven I am's too. We'll touch a little bit tonight. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. This is the one that comes with this. This is a sign and an I am when he heals Lazarus and brings him forth. Now, I've given you an outline. These stories, if you look at the timeline, if you know these stories and what they mean, and that's what I'm trying to give you, you ought to be able to read that. You won't put John down when you know what's happening and all that. What John? What was the agenda? Now tonight we're going to look at the last week, and I'm going to give you an alternative to consider about what took place during the week that sometimes archaeology and new scholarship was brought to bear. It's interesting to compare, take or leave, or whatever you wish. So we have now the prologue, and we have now the book of signs, and hopefully you will always remember them. And now we're going to approach the book of glory, which is the last week in the agony and the death of Jesus on the cross. And then a couple of weeks you're going to celebrate the resurrection. Be good to use John text there. All right? Friends, once again, thank you for being here. May God bless you and go with you as you go out from this place, remembering that Jesus is the Word who became flesh and lived among us and lived for Him and with Him. Amen. Go.
We are grateful, sort of like drinking out of a fire hose, all of this wonderful story compressed. We're grateful for the high-flying view, which helps us then to string it all together as we go deeper in each story. Go in peace following this service. Our third service will be our service of Holy Communion in the sanctuary today. So. Go in peace, and I hope to see you this evening at 6 o'clock in here.